So in honor of Doug Norris, who was a minister here 18 years before he retired this past spring, he would use this Sunday to tell a Christmassy story. And it kind of would connect to the scripture reading in an oblique way. And so in honor of Doug and his ministry here, I want to continue that tradition of having this fourth Sunday be Christmas story Sunday. And so this story doesn't deal with Joseph, but it does deal with angels in a way. You'll have to listen for it. It's a story that I wrote, and it's called The Best Laid Plans. Marcy McClelland switched off the radio in the middle of another dismal weather report and kicked the dishwasher closed a little harder than necessary. She was so frustrated. She'd spent the past 2 months planning the perfect Christmas getaway, and nothing was going as she planned. They had meant to leave yesterday, but Jane, Marcy's wife, had been called into work. So Marcy got them all ready for an early start today, but Sam, their six-year-old, had slipped on the back steps as they were loading the car, and the gash on his head had meant an early trip to the ER instead for stitches. And now it was almost noon on Christmas Eve, and they still had a 7.5-hour drive ahead of them. "Come on," Marcy bellowed up the stairs. "Did you hear the weather report?" Jane asked as she bundled past with the last load of presents for the car. "A major winter storm, should we call it off? Curl up here, maybe? Head out on Boxing Day?" Am I the only person in this family who cares about our plans? Marcy said. Every year, Marcy started planning for Christmas the day after Halloween. With three kids and a full-time job, she lived by the mantra that failing to plan was planning to fail. Marcy loved being organized. She even called her desk at home Command Central. But Christmas had a way, every year Christmas had a way, of foiling Marcy's best efforts at control. "You know, just once," she said, "just once I'd like to picture my perfect Christmas and then have it actually come true," Marcy told Jane on the 1st of November after the kids had gone to bed. "Just once," she said, "I'd like to have things work out as I planned." On Christmas Day last year, her younger brother had flown in from Vancouver to surprise them. And he just showed up at the front door with his new girlfriend. Well, the spare room wasn't ready, and Marcy had to scramble, adding extra chairs and settings to the table, and they'd had to postpone plans for Boxing Day. Well, this year, Marcy wanted Christmas to roll out exactly as she envisioned it. This Christmas Eve, she would sit in front of a roaring fire, far away from those relatives and neighbors who might pop in unexpectedly to ruin her peace and quiet. She wanted a fireplace in a farmhouse in the country and a steaming cup of tea and time with her family. She'd even play Monopoly if Christmas could just go as she planned. Marcy found the place online, a rustic, charming farmhouse for rent near the town of Sutton in Quebec's eastern townships, a peaceful haven in a mountain setting, the ad said. Perfect, Marcy thought. Christmas plans began to take shape. Well, far away from the busy bustle of Toronto, in a small, stuccoed bungalow on a quiet country road, Jack Martin stood listless in the kitchen. Today felt like he was moving through water. Even the smallest step took more energy than it usually did. It was his first Christmas without Marge. He thought he might put the kettle on, but he just stood there, staring at the kitchen counter, cluttered with the knickknacks Marge had adored, a salt and pepper shaker shaped like a hen and rooster, canisters that, when set together, created the scene of an English high street, an old butter crock Marge claimed was worth something. The clock ticked loud in the empty house. Marge had met Jack when they were in their late 40s. They'd been together for a couple of decades, but they'd had no children. A fire might be nice, Jack thought, but when he got to the small room, all he could do was sit in the frayed and worn-out easy chair and stare at the empty grate. He wasn't looking forward to tonight's service at the church. All those families, kids home from university. But Marge would want him to go. And so with all the energy he could muster, he stood up from his chair. Marcy dropped her head in her hands. Traffic! Josh, their eldest, had forgotten his cell phone at the Tim Hortons when they'd stopped for a quick break and then they'd had to double back to retrieve it, and now the entire city was on the highway. And Adria, their 12-year-old, was complaining in the back seat about being car sick. And I'm hungry, Sam whined from the back seat. And it was starting to snow, first in small wisps and gusts, but then more heavily until all they could see was the glimmer of the lights of the car immediately in front of them. Maybe we should stop at the next town, Jane said. This weather is nasty. The plan was for Christmas Eve at the farmhouse, Marcy said. They stopped for supper just east of Montreal, and when they got back into the car, Marcy took the wheel. Now it was 8:30, and it was still snowing wildly. Their car was so covered with snow just from the time they'd been in the restaurant that it looked like it had been parked for days. Marcy could barely see the exit off the highway onto the small country road and almost missed the turnoff. I can't see anything, she said. The car bumped and rattled. You're going too fast, Jane said. Slow down. I am not giving up on the plan, said Marcy, and pressed her foot hard on the accelerator. The car hit a patch of ice and swerved onto the wrong side of the road. When Marcy wrenched the steering wheel to the right, the car slid and spun around, barreling off the road, pummeled down into the ditch, stopping only when it smashed into a snowbank and toppled onto its side. She hit her face on the steering wheel hard, and suddenly there was no sound. Had she turned the engine off? She felt her nose flood. Is everyone okay? Marcy called out. She felt Jane shift under her. The passenger side of the car was pressed against the snow. What they would all remember was how dark it was, how cold. Marcy managed to get out first, kicking the weight of the door open with her legs. How did the kids get out? Jane was bleeding too from her temple. The kids, they got them, huddled together on a blanket on the snowbank. Jane climbed back into the car to sift through the mess of luggage and jumbled presents and tumbled food to find snow pants and mitts and toques. Marcy's phone was smashed, and neither Jane nor Josh could get any reception on theirs. What's the plan now? Marcy thought. What's the plan? Jack Martin was making his way home from the church's Christmas Eve service. He drove slowly because of the snow, but also to stretch time, delaying the moment when he'd walk back into the empty house with only the radio and the TV for company. Is that a car in the ditch? Cars in the ditch were a dime a dozen at this time of year, especially in snowstorms. He thought he saw someone waving, but the snow was blizzarding thick. His eyes were playing tricks on him anyway. And Jack didn't make a practice of stopping for strangers. Too risky. Marge, on the other hand, had always stopped to check on stranded travelers. But honey, everyone has cell phones now, he used to remind her. I'm sure they've already called for help. But Marge would always insist. If it were you on the side of the highway, Jack, I'd want someone to stop, she'd say. The farther he drove on, the more insistent the feeling that he really ought to go back. This was Christmas Eve, after all. But then he was nervous about what he might see. And really, what could he do to help anyway? But to his surprise, he found himself slowing down and pulling a U-turn. His headlights lit up the car lying on its side, and Jack was surprised to see a group of people huddled in the snow, waving wildly, a family. Should he get out of the car? Of course you should, Marge said in his mind. He opened the glove compartment, grabbed the flashlight, walked over to the group huddled on the blanket. I'm Jack, he said. Marcy had never been so happy to greet an unexpected visitor. The ice, she stammered, starting to cry. We were on our way to a farmhouse we rented for Christmas, Jane said. I can't get any reception on my phone and our car is totaled. Jack made a mental note of everything he had in the fridge. It was clear that he needed to bring this family home with him. They could use his phone to call a tow truck. Squished into the back of Jack's small car with Sarah on her lap driving through the white and black of the Christmas night, Marcy was surprised to feel an incredible sense of relief. I'm so sorry, she said to Jack. I know you weren't planning to spend your Christmas Eve like this, she said. Don't worry about a thing, said Jack. Jack ushered them through the narrow entryway and tiny hallway into the small front room. He pointed Marcy and Jane in the direction of the bathroom where they could clean up, and then maybe Jane could light a fire if they wanted, Jack suggested. He would sort out some food. The kids became visibly relaxed in the warmth of the house. Sam spun circles in the easy chair. Josh flipped through copies of National Geographic on the coffee table. Adria wandered around the room looking at pictures. Soon, Jane did have a roaring fire crackling in the grate, and Jack walked in with steaming mugs of tea and hot chocolate for the kids. That was my wife, Marge, he said to Adria, who had picked up a framed photo of a smiling, laughing woman standing on a dock at the lake. We used to have the most wonderful time on Christmas Eve, he said. First, we'd go to the candlelight service at church, and then we'd come home, and I'd build us a fire, and we'd play a board game just like we were kids, Jack said. Monopoly was my favorite. Maybe you'd like to play. The kids all glanced at Marcy. Well, that sounds perfect, she said. That night, Marge's favorite line of scripture echoed in Jack's head, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Both Marcy and Jack would maintain they had been visited by angels that Christmas Eve in an unplanned and unexpected encounter that seemed to be just exactly what they both needed. Christmas had come, but not through plans, through connection. It was in the sense of hope you get when you discover you're not alone, and the sense of peace you get by responding to a person who needs you, and the joy that comes from unanticipated get-togethers, the love you can have for someone you hadn't met before. It wasn't the Christmas Marcy had planned, but she would always say it ended up being just perfect. Amen.